Welcome to The Blaze. This is episode 259. I'm your host, Alejandro Oveda. You have now pushed play to another blazing week, and I got to tell you, what an amazing week we've been having here on the pod, and I just want to say thank you for all your support. Every week, you guys have been showing out for this podcast, and I just got to say, keep going, keep moving, keep sharing the pod, and let people know that this pod is here every Thursday. You can depend on this podcast every Thursday, as we have not missed a Thursday in 259 weeks. We're 259 weeks into this podcast. We're making moves. We're trying to make it through as this, you know, month of February has really been raining cats and dogs. But, you know, we've been still trying to focus on the week, as, you know, this rain is not going to take away, you know, our positivity, not going to take away anything that has been going good for us. So, you know, this week I just want to continue to just let you guys know this podcast is here for you guys. Make sure you guys, you know, share it. Make sure you guys are, you know, doing your thing. If you know someone that hasn't listened to it before, make sure you let them know that this podcast is on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you guys get your podcasts. I strongly suggest you guys download Podcasters on Spotify. It's the podcasting basically network that you could start your own podcast if you like, or even if you're looking for other interesting podcasts, make sure you check it out. It's just a site that I use constantly, that I find other podcasts that, you know, are on there that you might not find anywhere else. So make sure you guys check it out. Like I said, it is a great app. It's called Podcasters for Spotify. But this week has been kind of crazy, as, you know, that rain has been, I don't know what I would say. It was just been kind of gloomy out there. Like, you just really feel negative throughout the week when it rains like this. Like, you can't really go outside. Once you go outside, you're soaked. So, really had to really just stay indoors the last few days. But now, as we're looking outside, you know, today is a very beautiful day. Even though it is a little bit, you know, cloudy out there, we're still looking like it's going to be a great weekend, you know, and it is Super Bowl weekend. I'm super excited. We got a lot in store for you on the pod later on, talking about Super Bowl. You know, the Super Bowl matchup is the Chiefs versus the Niners, so we will be talking about that matchup later on in the pod. But right now, I just want to talk about the Grammys, as, you know, the Grammys comes around once every year, right around the first of the year, and this year it did not disappoint. You know, for sure, some of the major winners, of course, Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift, as we know, has been taking over mainstream media as it comes to the NFL, as it comes to basically anything popular. But some of the other winners of the night, like Killer Mike, who ended up sweeping most of the hip-hop categories. And also, you know, the Song of the Year, which was Billie Eilish with their newest song for, I think it was Barbie, which was an incredible song. And then for the new artist, Victoria Monet, which was a great, great win for her. I mean, this year I feel like, you know, they kind of did it a little bit right, especially when it came to the hip-hop category. You know, a lot of people feel like other hip-hop stars got, you know, snubbed. But in my opinion, I feel like Killer Mike definitely did his work this year to win this, you know, Grammy. And honestly, like I said, he just swept the hip-hop category altogether. But this was a great Grammys, and me and my wife ended up watching it. You know, they had some great performances from Billie Eilish, great performances from SZA, Young Thug. It was a great night of performances, and that's what I love about the Grammys. And, you know, I started watching the Grammys a long time ago with my dad. My dad was always a big time Grammy fan, and, you know, I ended up kind of taking on that as well. Just, I love watching the performances, seeing what each artist likes to portray as each song. But for me, it has always been about the hip-hop part of it. And this year, they ended up giving Jay-Z, I think, one of the biggest awards of the night. He ended up getting like the Dr. Dre something like of the year, something of the year. I forgot the whole award is, but he ended up winning that. And you know what he ended up saying about the Grammys was kind of right on, you know, like how he doesn't feel like the right people get picked for each category. And, you know, sometimes it's kind of miscued, you know, like they don't really grade the way that they should. And mostly he was talking about Beyonce and really about how they treat her music in the Academy Awards, you know, or the awards system that they kind of judge on, you know. I'm not too sure exactly, like, the whole details, but I know he was speaking some cryptic message out there, just stating, you know, that he wanted the Grammys just to pick better, you know. And in my opinion, you know, this year they did a great job. Most of the songs, most of the artists that won, kind of you already knew was gonna win. You know, so it wasn't anything that was like a big upset. I didn't feel like, and everybody was kind of getting like mad about that hip hop, you know, Grammy for Killer Mike, which I felt like he ended up winning hands down because that was one of my favorite albums of the year, and definitely especially going around, going with the criteria, I think that, the Grammys kind of judges for, you know. They look for something that is kind of off the wall, but also kind of relevant in the same way. And I felt like Killer Mike, he definitely did that with his album. And you can definitely check that album out. It's called Michael. It's out Spotify everywhere. And I definitely did do an album review on this podcast months ago, but I definitely suggest you guys check out that Michael album from Killer Mike, and also check out that song from Billie Eilish, and that one's What Am I Made For. That was one of my favorite songs of the year. I don't know why, but that Barbie movie definitely hit this year, and it did a good job by winning the song of the year, which I really thought should have won. So I want to know what you guys think. You know, do you think any of your artists got kind of snubbed this year in the Grammys? And if so, let me know what you guys think. Now let's talk about what we've been watching this week, as we've been watching Reservation Dogs, and it's an American comedy drama television series that was created by two Native American writer and director. Their names are Sterling Harjo and Taika Waititi, and they work for FX Productions. But this show actually follows four indigenous teenagers in Oklahoma as they spend their days hanging out, you know, trying to find things to do, committing crimes, trying to earn enough money actually to leave the reservation, try to make their way to LA. You know, one thing about this show, it really connects you to the culture. It actually connects you to these characters as well. And in this first American series, it features all indigenous writers and directors, along with almost a whole entirely indigenous North American cast and crew. The first season was really about how these four kids were trying to get through, trying to make money to make their way through North America and get their way to LA, as that was most of their dreams. But as the second, third, and fourth, not the fourth, but the second and third season concluded, you really understood that these kids were starting to embrace their culture. And as they started to embrace their culture, you kind of got that feeling of that too. They let you kind of in on the way that they do things and the way that they use family to really heal everybody in the culture, in how they come together in certain times of despair is another thing that I really loved about this series. But I felt like not a lot of people have seen this show yet. I know I've talked to a few people and they're like, are you sure it's not Reservoir Dogs? And I said, no, it's Reservation Dogs. So I'm trying to, you know, let people know that this show is out there, as I felt like it did get enough push, as and it did get enough, you know, celebration, as they did win some key awards, like the Peabody Award. They won some Independent Spirit Awards, Primetime Creative Emmy Awards, Golden Globes. So this show is actually an award-winning show, but a lot of people have not heard of it. So this the series really just follows these indigenous kids and just their way of life, as, you know, they're trying to make it through the res life. And hearing res life is kind of crazy, because you would think, you know, free money, free housing, free education, you know, it's not always that easy for these kids. You know, they got poverty still that they're living through. They still got alcoholism. They got tons of different things, especially when it comes to government and indigenous ways of life. I think, you know, it's really hard to really convey what they go through, but this show shows you. So I really would like to just let people know about the show, because it really is about the American dream. You know, these kids, they're expected to really cope with everything that has gone on in against indigenous people, and it's hard. You know, it gets harder and harder as they can't relate. You know, some of these kids can't relate to their culture, and one thing is that these kids really gravitated to the culture, so it brought us closer and exposed us a little bit more of how maybe some of these indigenous groups have to live, you know. And it's just a crazy thing, you know, to think these younger kids, some unattended to, some, you know, it's just heartbreaking. But you got to think, like, these kids live differently. They have a different financial situation. They have different family responsibilities. And they still have to continue to live a life that is like an American, you know. It's tough, I think. But the ideology of this show really changed me in a way that I had to view how I view Native American living, you know, because these kids were trying to make it to California. They were trying to get out of the reservation. They weren't trying to stay in the reservation. But I think you guys would like this one. You know, like I said, it's on Hulu. It's actually distributed through FX. So I think it could probably still be on TV if you might see it there. I know I haven't watched TV in a long time, but it has been made its way to streaming on Hulu. And I felt like, you know, the reception of the show didn't really get enough. So I definitely wanted to talk about it this week. So make sure you guys check out Reservation Dogs on Hulu and let me know what you guys are watching this week. And this week I was able to listen to a lot of different music. But the music I want to listen to this week, I really needed a lot of motivation, need a lot of, you know, good spirit. So I definitely took a chance. I ended up listening to Kid Cudi's 9th studio album called Insano. It was actually released through Wicked Awesome Records and Republic Records in January 12th, 2024. And this album contains so many great features. First, I would have to say DJ Drama did a good job really hosting the album. But it was the production on this album from Travis Scott that really got me going. He had production from Pharrell on this album. And he also had appearances from ASAP Rocky, Lil Yachty, Lil Wayne, and Young Thug. You know, like I said, the production was handled by a variety of record producers. Even Cudi had a part in the production, which he always does, but he usually lets other, you know, key producers produces his work, but he definitely had a hand on this one. Like I said, DJ Drama narrates throughout the album. Kind of like Insano is kind of like the another kind of like what do I say? He made it feel like it was a Gangsta Grillz mixtape. You know what I mean? He made it feel like it was for the streets. And I felt like this was a great follow-up for Cudi after that Intergalactic, which was his previous album, but he also went along with the cartoon. So I also advise you guys listen to that one, Intergalactic. But I would feel like this album had to be like, it was the closest that hip-hop got to trap music. And I felt like this was a good sign for Cudi coming into 2024. It's a great album because it really doesn't have one single. Like, there's multiple ones that I felt like you could choose as a single. But definitely something that I think everybody will gravitate towards as, you know, this is going to start making its way around. But I felt like I was kind of late to the party on this album. And once I definitely heard that Travis Scott Cudi feature, I definitely had to turn it up, had to turn it on. I felt like they didn't really have a lot of promo for this album. I didn't really see a rollout. I didn't really hear much. But I did want to take a listen. And once I did, I definitely didn't put it away. I've had it on repeat throughout the week. Some of my favorite songs off the album are Wow, featuring A$AP Rocky. Most Ain't Dennis, which is just a Kid Cudi song. And Get Off Me, featuring Travis Scott. So if you're looking for a good album, maybe something that you definitely need to get some motivation, need a little bit of good spirits, make sure you check out Kid Cudi's latest, Insano. Like I said, some great songs on there. I think I had this on repeat for about 4 or 5 plays this week. I definitely didn't want to put it down. But now that I, you know, went through and put my songs in my playlist, I'm definitely going to keep continuing to give this album a listen. So make sure you guys check it out. Kid Cudi's Insano, and let me know what you guys are listening to this week. Now I want to talk about Fresno's first Nike store. It's going to be located in River Park. And if you don't know where it's located, it's going to be located out. It is at the old Macaroni Grill corner right there at the corner, I think, of El Paso and Blackstone. It's a beautiful freaking location. I felt like Fresno needed this Nike store for a while now. But they are set to open in March. And the location for this Nike store is going to be called Nike Unite. So the first Nike store is already going to be down the corner from me. I mean, it's going to be right there as the River Park location is going to be something, I think, special. Especially right there in River Park, which, you know, is going to open in a few days. I think a lot of people are going to be gravitating to that Nike store as the grand opening will be Central California's first since they put it in Tulare. I mean, it's been a long time since they put another one in the Central Valley. So this is a big move for Fresno as, you know, I feel like department stores have been like dwindling here. And it's kind of insane that they wanted to put a Nike store here in Fresno. I think it's great, but at the same time, it's, you know, they're taking a chance on us, and I think that's awesome. So I can't wait to check this out. It looks like it's going to be a pretty big store. I'm not too sure about all the details about it, but I definitely want to let you guys know that it is set to open in March, and I'm definitely going to, you know, probably go in there and go see what they got, go see what's going on. I don't think this is going to be like a Nike outlet store, so it's going to definitely have a upper feel where, you know, you can go in and go check out maybe some of the newer stuff that they got available. But this is a great move for River Park, and this is a great move for us. So make sure you guys go out there, support Nike, as they will be opening up on March 7th. And I don't know, I think it's a great idea for Nike to make the move to land here in Fresno, but it's also like, You know, you could have been anywhere else but Fresno, but you chose us. I think that's great. But I just want to let you guys know it does open March 7th. And this week, they ended up taking down the historic G sign that once stood in downtown Fresno. It's in a historic G sign, and now they will move that sign to the Fresno Fairgrounds, where they have a lot of different community, you know, old historic signs, which I felt like this is a great move, especially for the fairgrounds, as, you know, their collection is growing and growing and even more incredible now that they got this G sign. I hope that they will be putting some work to it and maybe get it going again. But that historic G sign was located on top of the State Center Community College District building on Fresno and Fulton Street, and they did take that down, I think, over the weekend last Saturday, but the iconic sign was installed in 1965, and it was then the Guarantee Savings Building. It was originally going to be removed on January 20th, but it was much heavier than estimated, so it required them to actually get a different type of crane to remove the letter G. But they will replace this G with the sign that is expected to be installed by the summer of 2025. But I think, you know, this is a great thing, like I said, for the fairgrounds. And hopefully we might see something nicer or something, you know, more elegant. I'm not too sure what they're going to put up there. But this is an historic sign for Fresno and always something that you could see from the skyline. I just hope that, you know, they will revitalize it, or whatever you would say, like make it new. Hopefully we could see it when we go to the fairgrounds, you know, coming up in October. We'll see. I'm not too sure exactly what they're going to do with it, but I definitely want to let you guys know that they did remove it from the downtown skyline. Now let's talk about the atmospheric river that hit us this past week. And not only us, but all through California, as it released, I think, a record rainfall, triple digit winds, and also hundreds of mudslides. It hit LA pretty hard, especially in the downtown area. As I saw on TikTok, they had a bunch of videos of the LA River. It looked like a raging river. It looked like I'd never seen it before. But the downtown area wasn't the only spot that received a lot of rainfall. You know, I think they had spots in Bel Air and throughout the whole LA county, especially in the canyon areas that got hit pretty well. But they said that they had winds as fast as 102 miles per hour. And this was there up in the north side of California, up in, I think it was San Francisco. But while those winds were gusting, I know trees were uprooting, you know, they had a lot of different things going on in California, as mudslides were a factor also in neighborhoods and also in places where people, it was hard to get to. You know, this atmospheric river is definitely something that we have to start looking for, as it's going to start impacting a lot of travel, a lot of business. It's going to affect a lot of people. You know, last year's was intense, but this year I think we're only seeing a little bit of it right now. But the cause of it, a lot of people are saying climate. You know, climate and whatever, but to me is just, we got to stay active and make sure that, you know, you are proactive when an emergency like this really happens. You know, you don't know what might happen in your community, you know, what might happen in your county, but the next storm system has been a high risk of bringing hazardous rain, not only to the north or to the south, but here in the Central Valley. You know, compared to last year's historic rain season, this year has really been a slow start. But the National Weather Service is warning of an atmospheric river bringing even more high risk rainfall and more hazardous wind gusts. So right now, the weather is pretty predictable. You know, it's kind of I don't know, cloudy outside, but you could still feel that atmospheric river out there, as you know, it is hitting LA hard, going through the hills and hitting probably Las Vegas pretty hard as well, I would have to say. So I just say, if you guys are, you know, traveling and going to LA, if you're going to Las Vegas for the Super Bowl, I just want to make sure you guys are staying safe and make sure you guys know, you know, some roads might be closed, some roads it might take a little bit longer to get through, especially going to Las Vegas, going through Tehachapi at this moment right now. They saw a record amount of snow, so you might want to just rethink your traveling plans. But you know, at this time in February, it's a crazy time that you would think that, you know, snow and rain is like the highest it would be throughout the year. You would think it would be like January, December, or November, you know, but right now in February, it's crazy that it's coming down so hard. And yesterday I kind of got stuck into it, and it was like thick raindrops. Like, I was only in it for like 10 seconds and I was soaked. So I don't know. The rest of the week, it looks like it's going to be really just a cloudy week. And we won't probably see any rain until next week. But, you know, that atmospheric river is definitely something that we're going to start seeing a lot more of. And these rainfall and these storms are going to start getting worse as time goes on. So you just got to be more prepared as time goes on. Now let's talk about our Fresno State men's basketball team, as they have a record right now of 10-13 and a conference record of 3-7, which they are ninth right now in the Mountain West Conference. And this week last week they had a couple of big games. They had their first game against Colorado State, and they ended up losing to Colorado State 73-61. But the Fresno State Bulldogs were led by Isaiah Hill, who scored 11 points and ended up getting 4 rebounds. Then they had another game during the week versus San Jose State on the road. They ended up playing at San Jose State. And in this game, they ended up beating San Jose State 69-57. And the Dogs were led by Xavier Ducell, who ended up scoring 23 points and ended up getting 4 rebounds. And the Dogs are in action this week. Their first game, they will be on the road this week on February 10th. And they will be going against Air Force. And then on February 14th, on Valentine's Day, they will be going against UNLV, and that will be actually a home game. So make sure you guys tune into the Blaze Podcast for more on your Fresno State basketball team. Now let's talk about our Fresno State Bulldogs women's basketball team, as they have a 11-3 record and a 4-7 record in the Mountain West Conference. They are currently number 8 in the Mountain West. And they had a couple of games this week on the road. Their first game, they ended up playing Utah, and they ended up beating Utah State 70-50. And the Fresno State Dogs were led by Mia Jacobs, who scored 15 points and grabbed 11 rebounds. Then the Dogs played Colorado State, and they ended up losing 58-69. But the Dogs were led by Mia Jacobs again, who scored 13 points and grabbed 9 rebounds. And the Dogs are actually in action this weekend on Saturday, February 10th, against UNLV at the St. Mark Center. And then they'll be in action on February 14th on Valentine's Day on the road against Air Force. So make sure to tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on your Fresno State women's basketball team. Now let's talk about Fresno State baseball, as the Diamond Dogs will be back in action for the 2024 schedule, which was announced. And Fresno State will begin its 55-game regular season, I think, Friday of next week. That will be February 16th. And that will be actually at home in a weekend series against Milwaukee in the program's first ever matchup. This is going to be at Pete Biden's Field at Bob Bennett Stadium, and this will be 13. They'll see 13 teams this season, with 27 total home contests across 5 series and 5 midweek games. The Diamond Dogs will host a weekend 4-pack with UC Irvine and Columbia, opening the weekend with back-to-back games against the Anteaters on Thursday and Friday, followed by a pair against the Lions on Saturday and Sunday. Conference opponents are San Diego State, which will be March 1 through the 3rd, Air Force, March 22nd through the 24th, Nevada, April 5th through the 7th, San Jose State, April 19th through the 21st, and then UNLV, May 10th through the 12th, and they will visit Fresno in 2024, and the Dogs will hit the road to face San Jose State March 15th through the 17th, UNLV to March 28th through the 30th, and then New Mexico April 12th through the 14th, and then they'll be in San Diego State May 3rd through the 5th, and then Air Force to seal off the road May 16th through the 18th. There will be in non-conference play, the Dogs will head to Cal State Fullerton, and that will be February 23rd through the 25th, and Washington State April 26th through the 28th. And that will be the first time they play Washington State since actually 2011. And then midweek matchups at Pete Biden Field will be Pacific, which will be February 20th, LMU March 19th, CSUN April 20th, and Cal Poly April 30th. They'll have other single games as well, but those are just some of the named games. But the Mountain West Championship Tournament will be held in San Diego this year, and that will be May 23rd through the 26th. So I just want to remind you that we do talk about Fresno State baseball now coming up next week, as the season will be starting February 16th. So make sure you guys stay tuned to the Blaze Podcast for more. And if baseball's in season, that means softball's in season. And the Fresno State softball head coach, Stacy Mae Johnson, announced the 2024 schedule. And the Dogs will begin their 52-game schedule with back-to-back home tournaments for a 12-game homestand opening on Thursday, February 8th, before going on the road to complete the May Nutter Collegiate Classic. And then they'll play in the Judy Garman Classic in Fullerton. And that's two of the premier tournaments in college softball that Fresno State will be in. And then Fresno State will host their final tournament of the fall March. I think that will be March 1st through the 3rd. Then we'll see Marty Wright Diamond. We'll see 12 different teams this season with 32 total home contests across 3 tournaments, 6 series, and 3 midweek games. The Mountain West plays, well, I think they start on the road. They play opening up on the road against Nevada, and I think that will be Friday, March 15th, before hosting San Diego State on Friday, March 22nd. Fresno State will also host Utah State. They'll have a series April 6th through the 7th. They'll host UNLV. That will be April 26th through the 28th. And Colorado State, which will be April 26th through the 28th. And during this conference play, they will also be going on the road to face Nevada. They'll be on the road on March 15th through the 17th in Nevada. San Jose State, April 3rd. Boise State, April 12th through the 14th, and then New Mexico, May 2nd through the 4th. Fresno State will also host non-conference series against LMU. That will be March 29th through the 30th. Then the Dogs will host midweek matchups against Sacramento State, which will be February 21st. Pacific, March 20th, and Cal, April 17th. And then the schedule features single games at UCSB on March 27th. And then Stanford, which is going to be a big, big game for the Lady Dogs. And they'll be playing Stanford April 10th. The 2024 season tickets are now on sale. So make sure you guys go out there, go support our softball team, and make sure you support everything Fresno State. So make sure you guys tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on your Fresno State women's softball. Now let's talk about our Fresno Monsters, as they had a 3-game homestand last week against the Ontario Junior Reign, and they ended up having a great series against them. They had a 3-game series. They had their first game Thursday, February 8th, and they ended up beating the Reign 5-3. And then on Friday, February 2nd, they played their second game, and they ended up losing to the Reign 5-4. And then on Saturday, February 3rd, the Ontario Junior Reign lost to the Monsters 7-3. So this week, the Monsters will be on the road for a 3-game series. That will be Thursday, February 8th today, Friday, February 9th, and Saturday, February 10th. They will be on the road against the Long Beach Shredders out at Lakewood Ice. And then next week, they will be back at home against Vernal Oilers, Friday, February 16th, 17th, and the 18th. So make sure you guys tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on your Fresno Monsters. Now let's talk about the NFL, and let's talk about the Super Bowl, as we are going to have the Super Bowl 58 this Sunday, February 11th. Can't wait for the Super Bowl. I mean, this time of year always is the best. I will be having the weekend off. Really going to be celebrating the Super Bowl, as I feel like the Super Bowl should be considered, you know, a national holiday. And this is where we see people get together. We see friends, family, you know, rivals, whatever it might be. We get to see one game played on Sunday to see who is the best team in the NFL. And this year, it will be between the San Francisco 49ers from the NFC versus the Kansas City Chiefs, defending champion, Super Bowl champions from the AFC. And this game is scheduled to be played February 11th at Allegiant Stadium in Paradise, Nevada. And I cannot wait for this matchup, as this is the first Super Bowl to be held in Nevada. And it will mark the third straight year that the Super Bowl has been played in the western part of the United States, following host cities of Inglewood, and that was in 2022, and Glendale in 2023. And I think the game will be televised on CBS, streamed on Paramount Plus, and then you could also find like an alternative youth-oriented broadcast on Nickelodeon. And they will also have it on Spanish language network Univision. It will be the second simulcast in Super Bowl history, the first being Super Bowl I. The game is scheduled to begin at 3:30 p.m. So I cannot wait for this, as, you know, they initially said that the Super Bowl was going to be selected in New Orleans, but the game was part and processed and implemented. The league was introduced to a new city, and now they ended up picking, you know, I think they ended up picking Las Vegas, and I thought, you know, it was going to be New Orleans, as, you know, I think they move from east to west. I thought they used to do it like every year, but this is going to be a great game here in Las Vegas, as, you know, Vegas is a great place to be, especially on all occasions, but for Super Bowl, for finals, for any sports, any fights, any type of anything, concert or festival, Vegas is the place to be. And I feel like they are going to host a great, great Super Bowl. And it's gonna shine that Vegas is going to need more professional teams. They're going to need basketball teams. They're going to need baseball teams. They're going to need soccer teams. They're going to need so much more entertainment in Vegas because of this Super Bowl, and especially because now you're able to sport bet around the world I mean, not around the United States, not around the world, but around the United States. So betting is a big part of sports now, and it's gonna even get bigger, I feel like, especially with now the Super Bowl coming to Allegiant Stadium, and seeing that other things are gonna start taking place in Vegas. It's a great thing for football, I think. I think it's going to be a great thing as the arena is beautiful. The city is beautiful. The weather is always nice. So it should be a great Super Bowl. But the biggest thing for me is the matchup. The matchup is super important this year as the 49ers are looking to have their revenge against the Chiefs. And like I said, it's going to be either or. And I feel like right now, odds are in the Chiefs' favor. I think they have the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. And it's crazy because the 49ers have a better record. But they are slight, favorites, I think. In my opinion, I think the Niners are slight favorites. But we'll have to see. The 49ers were considered the best in the NFL throughout the regular season. But they kind of slowed down in the playoffs against Green Bay. And then a couple weeks ago against Detroit, only defeating them both by 6 points. So the Chiefs have a little bit of a different story. They were actually below par starting the beginning of the season. Took a while to really get the steam going. A lot of people were kind of dismissing the Chiefs in the beginning of the year as they lost 6 games, the most in Patrick Mahomes' career. But they developed this team going into the playoffs. And they defeated 2 AFC teams that were top-tier teams. And now they're en route for the Super Bowl. And it's going to be crazy to think that the KC is going to go back-to-back. And people are ready for it, to me, it's going to come down to the defenses. Who's going to be able to stop the run, which we know McCaffrey could run around any defense. So if the Niners could really punch the ball against this Chiefs team, I think they have a big, big shot. But if the Chiefs could somehow make a game plan to run against the Niners defense, or I don't think they're going to be running the whole game. You're going to see a lot of screen passes from Mahomes. It's going to be really tricky to get around this Niners defense. That's what I think. But considering 49ers have been playing kind of, like I said, pedestrian in a way, against the Detroit Lions and then against the Green Bay Packers. And we saw, them kind of challenge that Niners defense. And I feel like the Chiefs, they don't have the superior weapons to really hit them where it hurts on the passing game. So I think it's going to have to be chip away, get the ball out of Mahomes' hands, make sure he doesn't get sacked, make sure there's a lot of things that have to go into, I think, effect for the Kansas City Chiefs to win, but everything is in the Niners' hands, I think. They got the defense, they got all-star offense, they got the running game, they got great defensive line, they got a great linebacker core. So for me, I think the Niners are definitely the favorites in this game, as the Niners hasn't played very well against AFC teams during the season, but this should be hell of a game to see Mahomes back in the Super Bowl, and then seeing Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, who was the last pick for the 49ers a couple seasons ago, now coming into the Super Bowl and becoming a star of his own, So the game starts, I think, at 3:30, and I'm definitely going to be checking this one out. I know in their past 5 head-to-head matchups, Kansas City has taken down San Francisco 4 times, In their last five head-to-head matchups, Kansas City has compiled 161 points versus San Francisco while allowing only 102 points. And I think San Francisco's record against the spread in the regular season was 9-8, and it is 0-2 versus the spread in the playoffs. I'm not too much on the betting side of things, but I know for sure I think it's in San Francisco's hands. If McCaffrey could rush and, you know, hit his record, you know, rushing attempts, I think we might see a different game. You know, if we could see maybe McCaffrey touch the ball at least 23 times, he has to touch the ball at least 20 times to win the game. If not, I don't think the Niners will be in the game. But Brock Purdy, who knows? You know, he is fifth in all yards, and he's also third in touchdowns. And he only threw 11 interceptions this year. I mean, he's been playing such a great game. But it's going to be, you know, the passing attack of Deebo Samuel. He's having a great year as well. He has, I think, over 892 receiving yards and 7 touchdowns. But it's going to be, like I said, the defense. You know, the defense from the Kansas City Chiefs, as that linebacker core has been playing well. Justin Reed, who has put up 3 sacks and 95 tackles throughout the season, has been playing well. And then we got to see also who is the halftime show. And the halftime show this year, I think, is the best part of the Super Bowl. It's going to be Usher, along with some other performers, but Usher is going to be the main singer that's going to be performing, and I can't wait for that Super Bowl show. So make sure you guys tune in to the podcast next week as we talk about, you know, the results, and just hearing about the Super Bowl is always something fun for me to talk about and to listen to. So make sure you guys tune in next week to the Blaze Podcast. And now let's talk about the NBA. And in the NBA, I just want to talk about the All-Star game as they released the NBA All-Star roster. And we'll start off with the Eastern Conference, which we talked about starters last week. Now they ended up getting the reserves as well. But starting is Giannis Antetokounmpo, Joel Embiid, Tyrese Halliburton, Damian Lillard, and Jason Tatum. That's the starting lineup for the Eastern Conference. And then for the Eastern Conference reserves, we got Bam Adebayo, Paolo Banchero, Scottie Barnes, Jaylen Brown, Jalen Brunson, Tyrese Maxey, Donovan Mitchell, Julius Randle, and at injury replacement, we have Trae Young. And then in the Eastern Conference, coach, we got Doc Rivers, which was kind of weird that they ended up picking Doc Rivers. I think it just goes with the popular pick. But in the Western, for the Western starters, we got LeBron James, Luka Doncic, Kevin Durant, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Nikola Jokic. And then for the Western Conference reserves, we got Devin Booker, Stephen Curry, Anthony Davis, Anthony Edwards, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and then Karl Anthony Towns. And then for Western Conference coach, we got Chris Finch from the Timberwolves head coach. And the All-Star game is not going to be until February 18th. But make sure you guys, you know, tune into the Blaze Podcast for more on the NBA, as we will be talking more NBA next week. As you know, we kind of went overboard with the Super Bowl and the NFL, but let's talk about the NBA next week, as we will be talking more power rankings and also more on the All-Star game. But I'd like to thank you for pushing play this week and every week. You know, your support goes a long way for this independent podcast. I just want to remind you guys just to have a safe Super Bowl. Make sure if you guys are drinking, do not drive. Make sure you call an Uber. It is not worth, you know, the DUI. It's not worth what might happen. Super Bowl is a great day to celebrate, you know, but celebrate responsibly. And for me, you know, we're just going to be chilling at home, cooking some good food. Hopefully we're going to have some wings. You know, wings are like my favorite football meal. Either some pizza or maybe some nachos. I'm not too sure what we might do, but definitely the wings are on the list. And I just want to ask you guys, what is your favorite Super Bowl, like, food? Is it chips? Is it dip? Is it wings? Is it pizza? I know for me, it has to be wings, pizza, or nachos. Those are the top three in my choice. But I just want to thank you guys again. As every week is, you know, something special. Every Thursday, I look forward to recording this podcast, giving you guys a little bit of myself. I just hope you guys are following along and making sure you guys just tune in every week. You know, I just want you to support all your local businesses, support all your local artists, and make sure you support all your local podcasts. I'm Alejandro Oveda signing off episode 259.